want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You wanna. Do you want a podcast? Do you want a show? Do you get your laughs from computer radio with this bro, Scotty Mo? It's about time to lose your shit. Everybody's progress clips for that legend, Kevin Smith.
Welcome to Smodcast. I'm Kevin Smith.
Scott Mosier.
Hey, man. Look, Scotty's back. How is life in Smokeland, if you will?
It's good. I mean, basically, life inside my house, you mean?
Yeah. How is life in your fucking rooms of your house? Do you not interact with the world? When was the last time you, left the house?
Oh, I do. I went to the farmer's market this morning, so I was up pretty early, got there right when it opened. But most, I will say, I am probably spending 95% of my time in or around the house. I go for walks, for exercise. But even here, I exercise from home a lot. So I'm not, it doesn't feel like I could be anywhere,
Are the dogs looking at you like, oh man, you guys are still here? Or are they like, this rocks? We spent so much time with you and we love you, human.
Well, sadly, one of them passed away in November. In November, yeah.
Wait, now it's just dog?
Yeah, now it's just a very old 14 and a half year old dog.
And is this the one that can't hear or anything?
Yeah, so he's deaf, which is great. For right now, because you can't hear any of the fireworks, which used to freak him out a bit. He's at that age where he's a little bit, it's like that 14 and a half where it's like he can't hear. He's a little spacey. He gets a little bit of that spaciness. Mostly he's just looking at us going like, can I just have Trader Joe's turkey jerky for the rest of my life? I register that look, and I register his. And you know this, where you can. I don't know if you notice with your dogs, but you can kind of tell that they're. Ultimately, their sphincter muscles loosen. You can sort of see that they're.
They start getting ass sag.
They get ass sag, and so sadly the other night. So there's been a few, they have more accidents because they just can't sort of control. It kind of comes. So we've had a few in the house, not a lot. And then last night around, a couple nights ago around midnight, it was he popped up. And then I was like, it was a real runny one. It was just all over the bed because he sleeps with us. Yeah.
It was where a midnight. You're like, bro, we're dealing with COVID. We can't deal with this, too.
No, it's because we're with him all the time, he's kind of that, he's at that age where, when your dogs get there, it's you kind of inherit a brand new dog. About a year ago, we were like, oh, we have a new dog who just sort of behaves in different ways. He still loves to play fetch all day long, but, he can't hear. So you kind of just have to adjust to a new way of being, but shitting the bed was
that's
a whole
an adjustment.
New,
yeah, that's a brand yeah, new level of
that
adjustment.
That's a whole new one, really.
And commitment too, where you're like, "How much do I like this dog?"
Well, we're giving him some diapers.
That becomes the dividing line for tolerance, really, for humans, animals. How much shit can I deal with? It's on every level, of course, but. The one that really means the most to us is how much physical shit can I deal with? And that's when you really, when the rubber meets the road or when the fucking shit hits the fan, if you will, that's when you find out how deeply committed you are to your pet. Cause I know my family, we've lost a bunch of dogs.
Yeah.
But they were always like, as soon as they started crapping themselves, they were like, all right, time to go. And, I was like, whoa, man. Come on, it's just poop.
He has specific places he likes to be. So we have big beach towels. Right. So we're always just sort of honestly, it was and the amazing thing is he, he pooped in the bed. We cleaned it up pretty quickly. And then we, of course, lay back down and like going like, oh, and you know, it took us a while to go back to sleep, but he went back to sleep instantly. Like it was like, as soon as we cleaned him up, put him on a new towel, he was asleep. He was like, that felt amazing.
Is there more of that? Why the fuck would it, why did I ever do it by my own back in the day? Shit. I like when you guys pick me up, clean it up, get it out of there.
Yeah,
why did I ever go to the yard?
Well, that's the thing too, I was telling, because Alex and I were talking about it. It's like, but it is like you can see in his mind sometimes where he's like, but you told me my whole life that this is the worst thing I could do. Like, I've like, been terrified.
Were you lying? Were you fucking lying all this time? Was I being lied to?
Our whole relationship is a lie.
I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents, like I'd go to my grandpa and grandma Smith's, my dad's parents. They lived in like, where were they? Like Edison. They were on Edison Avenue, but like they were North Jersey. I want to say Edison. Maybe it was Edison. They had a basement in this house. The house is so boring. We always sat on the couch. We weren't allowed to do anything. My brother and sister still talk about me like I'm Moses to this day. Cause one day I was five and I was bored and I just went into the kitchen and was like, can we watch TV? And my grandfather was like, yeah, go ahead. And my brother and sister were like, what the fuck? Like they've been going to my grandparents for years, never once thought to ask, can we turn the TV on and stuff? Because they were always told by my parents, like, don't fucking ask to turn the TV on. You sit on the couches, you read your books and blah, blah, blah. But I wouldn't say rebel. I just wanted to watch some fucking TV. I was bored out of my skull. I was five. So I was like, can we watch the TV? And my grandfather was like, yeah, go ahead. And that changed visits to my grandparents' house forever. But what never fucking changed was they had a basement and I was never in it, never went to the basement. And they told me anytime I go near the basement door, my grandfather would be like, you gotta be careful. You can't go down there. And I was like, why? And then he was like, Rex is down there. And I was like, Rex? And they're like, yeah. I was like, what is Rex? They said, dog, big dog. And you know, they're talking to a kid who didn't have any dogs. And dreamed of having a dog. So I was like, oh my God, can I meet Rex? But Rex was profiled out to be like this vicious, fucking horrible dog that would like tear me apart. Like he's a kid killer and stuff like that.
Well,
so yeah, like the reputation of a pit bull, like in the 90s before, you know, but in the 70s, just like a vicious dog that would fucking tear me apart. So don't go anywhere near the basement door. Now, on some level, I'm sure they were like, we don't want this kid falling down. So maybe that was it. Maybe it wasn't about like, don't go down to the fucking basement. Or maybe there was nothing in the basement worthwhile or whatever the fuck. But turns out there was no Rex. It was a lie that I was fed my entire childhood to keep me away from the basement. Which, for all we know, Moj had fucking bodies in it and shit. Or probably more likely, maybe they were like, he's a little boy. He'll fall down the stairs and fucking roll
sex
to his
dungeon.
Desk.
Sex.
Could you imagine?
Dungeon. Two words.
My grandmother was blind, so maybe that had something to do with it. She was like, I gave my sight to sex. Sex is a sacrament, and I gave it my eyes because I don't need to see who I'm fucking in our sex dungeon. I don't want to see. This is like a living glory hole, a living hellish glory hole. And I'm like, do you think they just were looking out for my safety? And you're like, hell no. They were fucking the neighbors in some sort of satanic sex cult.
They were chopping off nuts and eating them.
And every weekend when we'd come, they'd fucking close the door, serve us cottage ham, and then we'd go home.
And then they'd, you know, like, what Rex stood for? Really extreme sex.
That's what we do down there. We don't just fuck. We have really extreme sex. To the max.
Yell the whole time.
It was 1976, man. It was the year of the bicentennial. Everyone was fucking a lot harder than they had the previous few years.
100 country, times harder.
Country was feeling 200 times 200 harder than they had when they started this fucker. Well, think about it, dude. It's post-Watergate. It's post-Vietnam. America was feeling in the dumps. 1976 comes around. Bicentennial, tall ships. Bam. Everyone's fucking harder, man. Probably condom off and shit. Just like, we can do no wrong. We made it 200 fucking years, man. We are the champions, my friend. Nothing could ever kill us. And so they were just like fucking so much harder, man. That went away in the 80s, of course. But in 76... your mom got fucked so hard by your dad.
So wasn't that the year of the Son of Sam too?
Yeah, it was, right? Summer of 76.
Yeah.
That was the big bicentennial. It was huge, man. It was huge in this country. Like,
I was in Canada.
Marketed within an inch of your life. It was on soda cans. Like 200 fucking year, 200. Same way like fucking when Clerk's birthday came around. I was like, can you fucking believe it? Like, I am America, like in as much as how I deal with Clerks and all my work. Like I'll let you know when we started, how we started. There's independence involved, indie film. And fucking years later, I'm still going to remind you like Clerks 2020 and shit like that. That is what the bicentennial was like. Constant reminder that the country had started 200 years prior, man. And lots of parties on this 4th of July. That would be, let me see, if I'm six, so this is 43 years ago. Would that be correct? Yes. No. 76, I was 6 years old. I'm about to be 50 in August, but it was 4th of July. Yes. So 43 years ago, this party, this country had the party of a fucking lifetime, man.
What's, I don't remember it at all. I was in the States.
Next time it happens is 7 years from now. It'll be the 250th birthday of America. Do you think they'll make a shindig or they're like, we'll wait till the 300th? Is it going to be like your high school reunion where like, we thought about doing one, but we decided to wait for the 15th? And you're like, you lazy fucks. There is no such thing as a 15th year anniversary. You couldn't have called us together for the 10th?
I mean, technically they do it every year.
What, it's high school
reunion?
More
the size. No, they, you know. They celebrate
high school graduations. You think they do?
No,
high
I don't
school?
Know. Every year,
for
I
mean, every concert. Year.
Yeah, yeah, not the. No, I mean that every year.
Although
America
technically,
celebrates.
Right, every year there are high school reunions, just not for the same class. Different.
I mean,
classes.
Not anymore.
I apologize for being classist, Scott. I was just thinking of class of '88. I was thinking about all the classes.
but not anymore. I mean, somebody would have had their. I don't know. I haven't been to any of them. So it's not affecting me.
What, the class reunion?
Like the fact that I might be missing a high school reunion because I would have missed it anyways. But they have to cancel them, right?
You'd be huge, dude. The only thing is like, let's say you went to your Port Moody fucking high school reunion. You'd have to be like, at least in your class, the biggest graduate and shit. And the only other person they would talk about is like Seth Rogen because he was in Port Moody as well. No, he was someplace else.
He was in Port Moody.
He was the other place. Yeah, there's literally nobody else from Port Moody except maybe Pete Buttigieg. No, he's American. Somebody was also from Port fucking Moody, I heard. But you might go back and they might put a fucking statue to you at the head of Port Moody. Like, look at him. Local boy made good.
I mean, I think if they were that impressed by me, they might have tried to contact me already. I don't know.
It's meant to be a surprise, motherfucker. Maybe they're like,
they've been waiting
for me
this whole time.
Yes. When he finally comes back, and we know he will, because every middle-aged man gets reminiscent, nostalgic about where they came from. He'll see this giant monument made to him and the video accompanying it. Showing this day that we mounted it and dedicated, and the whole fucking town came out and shit.
I mean, my impression of me going back to Port Moody would be a bunch of people going, "Huh?" That would be the.
So you're back then. Don't be such a Grinch. See what we did there. We pay attention. We get the news up here still. Get all hoity-toity, thinking you're the only one can read Variety. We gets Variety online here. We all knew about your successes. Why do you think there's a fucking statue? And now you stand here looking at me like, I don't know about the Grinch. Movie made $500 million worldwide. Everyone knows about it.
I don't know if I'm the most successful person. I mean, I don't know. I think if you have to, it would be, I don't know. I was in a big class, so. And I didn't graduate at high school.
Well, I mean, you were in a big class, but like, I'm sure somebody would have been like, hey, remember Albert? He was the Alberta killer. You're like, I wasn't from Alberta.
Strange coincidence. But... or was it? We don't know. Anyway, Canada.
He was good at rugby? I don't know what you want me to tell you.
That was my memory. And
all right, I'm fucking going right to the goddamn internet. I'm going to YouTube, Canadian YouTube. No, I'm going to Port Moody, and I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia because they always have a category for, like, you know, fucking who came from here and shit like that.
I bet you Port, I won't even be on it.
Well, I'm not. This ain't a test about that. Port Moody is a city in Metro Vancouver, enveloping the east end of Burrard Inlet in British Columbia. Port Moody is the smallest of the Tri-Cities, bordered by Coquitlam on the east and south, and Burnaby on the west.
Oh, yeah.
The villages, all right, never mind that. All right, so let's dive down. History, we don't need that. History, who needs that, Scott? Federal. The city of Port Moody is located entirely in Port Moody. All right. That's good to know.
Yep.
Demographics. In 2006, Port Moody had 10,125 private dwellings living within its borders. Booming residential construction may account for part of this population growth. 8,000 residential dwellings are owned while 2,100 are rented. Here's some fucking shit. Of its total population, 45% of Port Moody residents are legally married. The rest illegally married. No, the six. We got married under laws that are not humane. Inhuman laws wed us together. 6.25% are in common law relationships. That's just people living together. Almost 6% are divorced, and 24% are single. 30% of its residents identify themselves as immigrants, slightly higher than the 20% Canadian average. So did you find that growing up there? Was there a lot of diversity, as they say?
No. There was. I don't know if I would, if I went to my high school reunion, that there would, that those numbers would be
the reflected.
Yeah. I don't know.
They showed a picture of the fucking sign, and I've been to that sign. I took a picture of the sign and sent it to Moj. Be like, I'm here.
I've been back since, oh man. Since I left, when I left to go make Clerks was the last time I think I was in Port Moody.
Simon Fraser University is located in nearby Burnaby.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, they don't have anybody. There's nobody listed. Like, you know who else? You know, they don't say anybody.
Well, like, Burnaby nobody, was Michael
nobody came from here. Hey, who came from Port Moody? Nobody. Move along. Quit asking.
Michael J. Fox. See, his star shone so bright from Burnaby that like nobody even wants to try.
It told yours in Port Moody.
It did. To this fucking day. I'm still living in his shadow.
We all are. Act accordingly.
Fucking McFly.
Scott, so I know what we were doing. You know how people are like, I know what you did last summer? I know what you did 19 summers ago. From right now, we were making Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, I never remember when we shot that. It was a summer. It was more of a summer shoot.
Summer 2001, and when the movie, we were in post by that point, but almost in post. No, we were still shooting because we shot Ben's scenes, and he was toward the end of the show. But we shot Ben's scenes over the course of like a day and a half, because he had time down because he was coming back from a movie shoot. And he was going to, you know, spend 4th of July at his house. So we shot his scenes for Strike Back. And then he was like, you guys got to come over to my house, man. We're having a barbecue 4th of July. And so we went to Ben's house on the 4th of July and met a bunch of people.
Yeah, I remember.
Including, if I'm not mistaken, probably your wife that night, that day at the barbecue.
I don't know if we met. I do know
but she was definitely there.
I do know she was there. I believe because we've had this conversation. I believe she was there with her boyfriend at the time.
So she was in the house. You were in the house.
Yes,
I was in the house, and my wife was in the house. Ben was in the house. Ben toured us around the house and was talking about how he wanted to sell the house because it was way too public and shit. There's no yard, no gate. And then, you know, he was like, the phone rang and he's like, I'll be right back. And so we're standing in the foyer of the house, me and Jennifer. And when he walks away, Jennifer goes, I want this house. And I was like, well, then you married the wrong guy from Mallrats because look at this house.
He owns it.
Yeah, fucking talk to him. but we wound up like this is the first the house that I live in. I wound up buying Ben's house, the house that I've lived in for 18 years in February, the February that just passed. This February, it'll be 19 fucking years. I first stepped into 19 years ago today on 4th of July.
Wow.
Isn't that fucked? I know. I love shit like that where you can like pinpoint shit in the streams of time. Like, you know, very rarely in life, most things have a date, of course, where they're like, you know, Christmas, December 25th, or you were born August 2nd or something. But like very rarely do you have an exact time. Like I know exactly where we were on October 3rd, 1993 at 11 a.m. If I had to shoot a fucking cannon through time to kill one of us, you know, and it's like, you can't find him. He's off the grid. And I'm like, well, I know where to fucking find him. I could fire that time cannon to the Angelica Theater, like on October 3rd, 1993 at 11 a.m. and blam, fucking kill us both and stuff. The other day, Harley just had her 21st birthday. And so, like at a certain point, I was like, what fucking time is it, man? And it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, 20 fucking 1 years ago in the time stream, we are in the hospital. Like, and
yeah,
she's about to fucking emerge. Like moments like that, obviously fucking trip out a stoner and stuff, but we're having one of those moments or one of those days right now in the time stream. Like it's 2:20 right now in Los Angeles. So it's not even like in the time stream, add 3 hours like I normally have to do because shit happens back east. In the time stream, 19 years ago from this moment, we are probably walking into this house for the first time. If I could shift the dimensional vibration just enough, I could see younger us stepping through a door that I step out through a zillion fucking times a year to go out to my car to go someplace and shit like that. Isn't that fucking nuts?
All I can think of now is just like, it'd be amazing if you could pull it up like security cameras, you know, where it's like
from that period and shit, like David Lynch style, fucking Firewalk With Me. Remember in the beginning, fucking Cooper's like running in front of the security camera and then running back to the monitor and running to the security camera. And then he goes and he's still on the security camera and shit.
Yeah. It would just be amazing to, I mean, I guess in a surveillance state, it's technically possible.
I mean, it kind of is. It's like, we're not talking about like, oh, in some other dimension they could capture your image. Like, it was 2001. There probably were security tapes. How do you
actually project into the future to possibly see? It's more just like, well, there's a traffic cam that shows us walking.
Yeah, there's that. When I moved in, there was a security system. So
yeah, I'm sure there was. Someone might have deleted it, but or it was on tapes and shit. But There's footage of us doing, it's like, I wonder how much footage there is of us out there right now doing things.
Current
According
day
to television shows, back in the day, I don't think there's as much. Current day, there's probably a lot more. Or if watch TV shows, like murder mysteries and shit, it's like, apparently we're all on camera all the time.
I know that's true in London. In London, it's they have high security system. And like it has, first off, it has to do with car measurements, like because only a certain amount of cars are allowed into the city. And they all have to be very specifically licensed because they just can't do it. The street's too small and shit like that. So it's oddly metered. Like if you and I show up to London and we don't have this tag, from what I understand, you don't necessarily get in. Maybe I'm crazy. Because that's and they use cameras. That's where the cameras started coming in to monitor, and then they just started proliferating. But apparently they're everywhere.
Yeah, because when you watch BBC shows about like you know fucking McCormick or whatever the detective, you know it's always like anytime anything happens, there's always somebody who pulls up like 16 camera angles and you can see what everybody's doing.
I just watched last night. I watched a British fucking show about like, well, I guess I think it's got to be a British show. The guy on it was British, and I think the voiceover was British. But it's about, and then a lot of commentators are British. Now that I think about it, it's a totally British show. But I watched it on Amazon, and the idea is like famous dead people's autopsies, and they get this guy who's like, "Oh, I'm a famous doctor," and he'll tell you what they died of. And I'm like, well, I mean. But isn't that what the autopsy did? Because he's like, I have the official autopsy and I will tell you what this man died of. And, you know, maybe I don't understand what an autopsy is. I always thought the autopsy report told you what the guy died of.
Yeah. So the guy's like, basically like doing like a storybook like, reading. Well, he's like,
autopsy. I'm a famous doctor and I'm going to read an autopsy. Because that's kind of what he does. I guess he confirms it. But like the whole show... Like, it's made up of, like, you know, not found footage. What is it called? Like, reenactment footage.
Reenactments, yeah.
And then they'll cut to him going, like, here it says that he had alcohol in his system. That could have attributed to his demise. And, you know, I'm like, shit, hire me as the host because I'll back up the autopsy.
Yeah, I can make that assumption.
I can give a pretty basic reading.
Maybe that was a problem.
I also love it because the dude... The way he says cocaine, he goes, cocaine. He had cocaine in his system. And they said that this one dude had, who was it? Oh, they were doing River Phoenix's autopsy. They said he had all this undigested cocaine in his stomach. And maybe I don't know anything about cocaine, Scott, but like, does it eventually wind up in your stomach?
I really don't know that much about cocaine. I mean, I've done it and I don't remember it. I mean, it's going up through your nasal passage. I don't know if things that go up your nose go down into your stomach or trickle down. I mean, your nose is attached to your throat. So
I guess that would be it. So it goes up your nose, and then whatever doesn't get absorbed gets digested. That's so fucked up. I never thought about that. Never occurred to me that shit. But, you know, all right. So maybe the doctor is smarter than me. But right now, from what I gauge from the show, he's literally just confirming autopsies that he didn't even do. Like, you know, they were done by other people.
But it's not even like a show where he's like, they say he died by a screwdriver. And I'm here to say it's a hammer. Like he's not like
no, he's not disproving shit. He's like, they say he died of a heroin overdose in this autopsy I'm holding right here. And I'm a famous doctor and I'm here to say they're right. And it's
apparently they are right.
I've read their work and I believe that this is accurate. Like it's not like they're like, we pulled the body out and let him go over this shit.
He's just
reading the fucking autopsy.
And he's not even analyzing it and coming up with a different conclusion. He's just going he's just slowly confirming all the things that happened.
Let's be honest, he's just doing it in an accent. And that's what kind of makes it compelling. where I'm like, yeah, man, yeah, that very authoritative British accent told me some shit I already knew. That's the thing. I was watching it, and Jennifer's like, why are you watching this? And I was like, I don't know. That seems like might be new information here. And there wasn't, you know, the same old, like, they did Elvis's death. And I'm like, all right, now we're going to hear some shit. And really, he was just like, this man died on a toilet. You know, I'm like, well, I knew that. Like, it's just, I guess, you know, on some level, maybe it's a statement about me. Like, I know too much about dead celebrities already that they can't surprise me anymore. But there's a whole new generation that probably never heard any of these stories and shit. So this doctor reading the autopsy maybe is capturing their imagination. I mean, it captured mine. I watched 5 episodes.
I don't know because
they're like three seasons. And okay. I found it on, I think I was clicking around Amazon Prime when I saw it. And I was like, I'll give this a fucking roll. And, you know, while clearly I'm having a little trouble figuring out what expertise that the doctor brings to it. It's, you know, it has been a reminder of like, oh yeah, this person died. Oh yeah, this person died. Yeah. Oh yeah, this person died.
Oh, he's representing you with the person's death. And basically you're going like, oh yeah.
And they're all like kind of scandalous deaths now that I think about it. So it's like they did River Phoenix, they did Elvis, they did, I think I saw John Belushi on there. So yeah, they're doing people that...
They're not doing just like, you know, Bob Deaver.
Yeah, or like, you know, who just fucking passed away? Carl Reiner, you know, I'm a famous doctor. This is Carl Reiner's autopsy. He died of being 96 or 98, whatever, natural causes. I'm here to confirm that this is true. And then they do a reenactment where it's just like, yeah, he just got old, man. He had a good life, loved his family.
Watch that show. Just called Natural Causes. I'm telling you that show. I can't. On today's episode,
honey, grab the kids. Grab the kids. We're gonna watch Natural Causes together as a family because it actually would be kind of like, you know, number one, you wouldn't have to worry that like, oh my god, what if they show somebody get hit by a car? It's like that's not gonna happen. So you can watch it with your kid, and it's a good primer for death. Like, if I was a kid. And, you know, my parents were like, we could show them The Wonderful World of Disney or Natural Causes. I think they would have picked Natural Causes because we had a lot of relatives and they all would die and we'd go to so many funerals. Like, death was a regular part of our lives. So if you did a show where they were like, yeah, man, this motherfucker just died of natural causes, that'd be a somewhat uplifting show.
It is. It's like, motherfucker just died. Like, imagine, like, isn't that like...
Go ahead.
We only have shows about, like, how... No one, people never want to die versus like a show about how we all want to go, which is just like, you know, you go to sleep and you just don't wake up, you know?
It would be like doing behind the music for like, you know, U2, where they're like, there is no sad act where everything went wrong. They started making music together. They're still making music together.
Rich as fuck. It's awesome.
And how did they get rich? Natural causes. That's like a special celebrity edition of Natural Causes. That's like, you know, they repurpose the name where it's like Bono's like, I'm here to raise money for some of my favorite causes. And fucking so they spin the Natural Causes episode. And that's the controversial episode of Natural Causes that the audience really turns on and shit, like that one episode of Law and Order where they didn't follow a case, where they just followed an execution, and the fan base is like, I don't want to know shit about their personal lives. I like two dimensions, not three. They made one episode of Law and Order where they like somebody gets executed at the beginning, and all the people who you normally see follow the procedural cases on both sides, the cops and the lawyers, suddenly they followed them home, like, and you saw them interact with their husbands, wives, friends, whatever. One guy Jerry Orbach's character went to the bar and shit and tied one on, and he normally didn't drink. It was how they were all affected by seeing somebody fucking killed, you know, and all of them had a hand in it because it was a convicted criminal and stuff. So not a hand, meaning, you know, they, I'm not saying they're guilty. They felt something. That was the whole point of the episode, Scott. Cause normally Law and Order, they don't, you know, feel anything. It's all about the procedure. It's all about, nope, it's not about passion. It's about this happened. We found this person. Now this person's getting put through the system, and God willing, fucking hang them high, McCoy, we'll put them in jail. This was the one time they were like, let's just fucking throw out the format and just go into their lives. And you didn't know what the criminal did at the beginning. You just saw somebody get executed and then they followed everybody throughout their lives. And then finally toward the end of the episode, remember Esapatha Murkison, who was with us in Jersey Girl, played the doctor.
Yeah.
So she played the lieutenant. And so LT, and so she sits down and like write a letter, I think it is, to like her mom or something like that. And in the letter, she narrates essentially what it what the criminal had done to warrant the execution.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he fucking stole some soda. It was pretty heinous across the board.
Yeah, yeah. We got executed. Still,
but yeah, I mean, totally. But, you know, sometimes, sadly, Scott, in this country, people get executed for unheinous reasons as well, as we find out. So this was one of those cases where like the dude deserved it. And even as a path of Mercury, well, LT's character was like, I know this man was guilty and I was wanted to see him brought to justice, but it's hard seeing something like this and feeling. And that was the trickle down effect on all its characters. Like Benjamin Brad is happily married and shit, and he's very Catholic. And he winds up having sex with it's Jennifer Garner, but like some girl in NYU. And like, you know, it's just, and later on other episodes, they let him say something about it. Like his wife found out it affected his marriage and shit. But this was the one and only time that they actually like went into the characters' lives, and Law and Order fans hate it so fucking much, hated the episode, and they never did it again. Because they were like, that's not what I watched this show for. I don't want to know their fucking opinions. I don't want to know like how they feel about shit they do.
Catch the bad guys.
It's exactly. That's essentially it, man. They were just catch them and prosecute. Catch them and prosecute. And the one time they were like, these are the human beings behind these stories. They were like, I don't want to see that.
Catch the bad guys. God damn it.
I got enough humanity in my own life. What I don't have is people catching the bad guys. Catch the fucking bad guys.
Law I got my and own order. Tears.
Law and order, not I feel bad about it. Hey.
Hey. Hey.
Oh, they never did it again. They'll never do it again, man. I don't know what he does with the Chicago shows like Dick Wolf. Has all those Chicago shows. They can't all be procedurals. Like some of them seem like families and shit like that.
Alex watches SVU, or she's watched SVU. So I've seen peripherally enough episodes to know that they do go into personal stories. In fact, it's very sort of rooted. It's much more rooted in personal stories. You go home with people a lot.
Of the detectives and shit, or of the
victim?
And that's the like, I remember that's the one with Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
I mean, like in order to get that far, it's like, look, we're on fucking season 28. We got to go to her house once, please.
Once, show her couch. Show people that she has a couch.
It can't always be horrible crimes against children and women. Like sometimes Mariska Hargitay wants to, you know, just watch Netflix on the show, take a bath, maybe order some fucking Postmates and shit. Like sometimes crime takes a day off. No, like no way, man. Catch the bad guy.
That should be their slogan.
Catch the bad guys. Oh my God. That's what everyone wants to see. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here kind of laughing, but it's like, That's why I like the Marvel movies. At the end of the day, it's like, catch the bad guys.
Stop the bad guys.
Yeah, I'm different. I might judge the people who are like, catch the bad guys. I'm like, those fucking small-minded people and shit. Meanwhile, I'm like, hey, Iron Man, stop the bad guys, right? And Iron Man's the worst because he just makes the bad guy every time. Everybody they fought, you know, it was his fault, kind of. So I'm like, I mean, really, the rally cry there is stop fucking up or leave things where they were.
Leave things where they were. Stop creating things. You made a things, suit, just leave it. You
things might have been better if you'd done nothing.
Think about that, Tony. You got a time machine now? Go find out.
I am Iron Man. I am arrogant, you should say. Because you just think you can come in and fix it all. Leave well enough alone. Ultron wasn't proof enough. I mean, Ironmonger, that's just him taking your tech and building it up. You know, the other one, what was it? Extremis. You had a hand in that. You helped come up with the formula. You're your own worst enemy. Stop pooping in the living room and then stepping in it.
We thought you stopped drinking. What's going on there, buddy?
Catch the bad guys. You are the bad guy. Catch you. Stop being the bad guy. You're right, man. It is catch the bad guy. That's what I like about the Marvel movies.
I lean more towards surprise. Like, I want the surprise. Like, I'm like, I mean, I get like with Marvel, like, I guess I don't tune in to see him going like, oh, like there's, it's not like I go in there going like, look, there's a good chance Ant-Man's dead. Fucking here, kill him. Like, there's no part of me that's like, that's
but that is like, that. Then what other reason to go in then except to be catch the bad guys? Like, and you're and just like watching Law and Order. Although Law and Order sometimes they get off at the end and shit. But
yeah,
let's say 8.5 times out of 10, somebody gets convicted for the fucking crime. You are 100% sure, with the exception of, you know, Infinity War, where for a minute it looked like they lost a lot, but then we got mostly everything back and shit. It is catch the bad guy because you know that the hero's not really that much in jeopardy. That's what we want. We want we want justice. We want danger, but not too much. And we want, you know, nobody, we don't want bad things to happen to good people, ultimately.
But, like, I would argue that Game of Thrones becomes the sort of the outlier, right? Like,
true.
It becomes the thing where it's like, hey, this guy is gonna take over for his father's kingdom. It's gonna be amazing. Look, he's got a girl. He's gonna have a baby, and then it's like, and then. Like, yeah,
did they just stab that baby? Did somebody not want to warn me? What the fuck kind of show is this? Catch the bad guys.
Who's the bad guy?
I guess this is one of those newfangled stab the bad guy shows, and sometimes you stab the innocent as well. This show's very stabby, but I'll watch it. Yeah, it's true. It didn't really follow formula. Not only was it not catch the bad guys, they're like, here's a dragon, chew on this.
Yeah. But I, like, that to me lets you know that, like, people look, I think people tune into Marvel because since the beginning of time, it's like, you know, it's gods and monsters, right? Like,
yeah.
It's mythology and gods and monsters. It's like, that's why the movies, that's part of the reason why, to me, the movies can succeed now, because they can depict them as such, right? Like, they can depict them in those sort of, at that scale.
But wait, is, you know, Greek mythology also catch the bad guys?
Well, the... So,
not
no,
really.
No, in fact, because the gods are the bad guys. Most of the gods truly are.
The gods are the ones that are
horrible,
like...
horrible, egotistical... awful people.
Is the Bible catch the bad guys?
Yeah, I mean, but it's also, you know, as strange depictions of who the bad guys are. Like, it's questionable moments of, like,
the but also there's about- no there's no like punishment. Like in the New Testament, Jesus is caught. Like the bad guys are what? Like fucking Romans Pontius Pilate who sentenced him to death. There's no, they never catch the bad guy. Like they all live lives, and it's not like, and then the apostles burned the Roman Senate to the ground. Like there's no justice there. They didn't catch the bad guys. I guess there's like, this is the long play. Well, there's still no catch the bad guys.
Jesus, to me, in the New Testament, doesn't he, you know, I mean, God, I can't.
Jesus is the Game of Thrones. Jesus is Game of Thrones because he's like, you know, the catch the bad guy story you used to. I got a new story for you, man. Forgive the bad guy.
Yeah, smoke on that.
And apparently fucking was such a good story, Scott, that they're telling that story 2,000 years later.
Forgive yeah, I mean, guy. Totally. Although technically the Crusades sort of were a strange interpretation. Forgive the bad guy.
Forgive the bad guy, unless, you know, he doesn't fucking see eye to eye with what we say about Jesus. And then burn the bad guy.
I mean, I think it's, you know, there's Greek mythology and even in Norse mythology, like, you know, the gods are egotistical and crazy, but I think it's like, but you know, the Marvel becomes the mythology of like, which is more steeped in, for the most part, not totally, but there's more of like real people given godly powers, you know, and those people, sort of fighting against, you know, the forces of evil or injustice, mostly. I mean, obviously not Superman or you know, who's not.
So wait, so what about, so then catch the bad guy might be, I can't be a uniquely American concept, can it?
No, I think.
Maybe it's just like, that's our hamburger. Like for us, catch the bad guy is the American hamburger. Like I can eat that every fucking meal, man. It's like pizza. It's amazing. Like fucking, I'll watch him catch the bad guy over and over and over again. Because that tends to be the stories that were sold in TV, movies, books, pop culture, art. It's all about, well, not all art, as we're finding out. Well, Greek mythology is not art.
No, I think the average audience members are basically, you know, when it comes to like those shows are about like how we like to believe the justice system works, right? It's no different than like everybody wants to watch like everybody loves that The West Wing, right? Which is essentially a idealistic portrayal for some of like what it would be like in the White House,
If there was a fucking president that was like Martin Sheen good, as opposed to the Martin Sheen bad president in fucking Dead Zone. Remember where he's like, "You put your goddamn hand on that scanner, or I'll cut it off and put it there myself." And then
nobody wanted to watch a season of that.
That wouldn't have made it past fucking season one.
I mean, look, I think there's, but the truth is, like, you have a division of, like, I admit, like, I'm not necessarily one who is my predilection isn't towards shows that observe sort of the best version of things, like fantasy versions of law enforcement or The West Wing. I definitely am more interested in dystopian sort of stories. I lean more towards like something that's not sort of polishing all the bat, like sort of. I definitely lean more in that direction.
You're a 12 Monkeys guy. You're like, give me that.
I watch all the Marvel movies, and you know, part of it is like, I, having grown up with comic books and stuff, it's like, you know, I enjoy the spectacle of it. You know, like I think that for some of us, I think partly for me, and, you know, I'll see how long this will last. And not all hero movies I like, but there are moments where I go like, oh, wow, like, this is what I always imagined in my mind when I was a kid, you know, when I was reading them. Like, even when you're reading a comic, I mean, for me, reading a comic book, even when I was a kid, it's like you're reading them and they're these still images, which obviously I was really into the artwork and stuff like that. But you're also, your imagination is also sort of generating, or I was like generating a sort of like real live version.
I was going to say, that's your fucking imagination. I saw a static picture and I was impressed enough. I was like, holy shit, it's got four colors. This guy's blue and white and red is nuts.
But you never had any sort of sense of that they were of like, you never sort of imagined it beyond that? Like you never had that sort of...
literally worked with me on movies. You know, I have zero vision. Zero vision. I don't like, you know, if you were doing the movie of my life story and I'm like, you show a young me reading comic books and then like the panels come to life and rise above me in three dimensional figures and act out, you would not be making the movie of my life at all. You would, you know, get away with a much cheaper version where a kid looks at a comic book and, you know, that's
it. Can I have another one of these?
Yeah, I'll take more. Yeah, actually, you would get like what would come out of it would be the words, the word balloons would go over my head in three dimensions and shit. Like, that's honestly, when I looked at a comic book, I'd glance briefly at the image and go right to the word balloons. I was far more interested in what was being written, what was said. So that's interesting. I mean, you are, I mean, it makes sense. You fucking make a cartoon and shit, cartoon movie. You're a visually oriented person.
They say some people think in words or think in pictures. Like how you sort of,
I think it works.
It's funny. I like, I'm the opposite. Like, I have to lay down and see. Like, a lot of, when I'm writing, a lot of times I'm laying on the floor with my eyes closed and I have to see it and then I go write it down.
Wow, man. That's an extra step.
It is.
All right. We're going to put a pin in it for right there, man. This went on for a bit. So we're going to break this into two episodes, and when we come back next week, finally gonna dig into those shadow notes. Listen how excited Shecky is about it. She's like, oh, shadow notes, rah, rah, rah. But for now, that's it for Smodcast this week, man. I'm Kevin Smith. Have a week.
This has been a production of Smodco Internet Radio, sir, only at smodcast.com.